now time for the crime report. Joe Jacklone, retired NYPD sergeant, is a former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad, also current adjunct professor at John Jay College, author of the bestseller that is called The Criminal Investigative Function, A Guide for New Investigators. Edition number 3. Joseph, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
Boy, I tell you, lots happening. Why don't we start with what occurred in Brooklyn? Thank goodness, Joe, for bulletproof vests, right?
Certainly, yeah. It looks like it probably saved this officer's life. But, I mean, if you take a look at exactly what transpired here, we have another mental health issue that the police are, you know, respond to. And the mother told the cops, my son's in the back room. He's violent, but he's unarmed. So the cop walks right in there, and he gets shot multiple times. I mean, you can't take anybody's word for anything. I mean, that was saying that the mother intentionally misled the cops, but she didn't know what's going on. A lot of times, you know, the mother doesn't know what's going on with their sons, and this is a dangerous time. So that's why cops, you have to take extra precautions, and you can't take the word of anybody. You have to figure this out yourself.
And, Joe, I'm kind of surprised at that. It's a good point. This is obviously a 30-year-old cop, and you would think the training would be there, you know, just drummed into one's head about just what you said. Don't take anybody's word for granted here.
Well, I think there's a lot of reworking of the way police departments are training their officers.
I mean, this guy was only on the job 2 years, right?
Right. I don't know exactly how it's being done anymore. I know we want the police departments to be kinder and gentler, and, you know, you and I have discussed this, that some of this training and some of this second-guessing the cops is going to cost somebody their life. I mean, here's a close example, I think, of that. Let's hope the officer makes a full recovery. But this is a message for every other cop out there. You can't take anybody's word for anything. I mean, if you remember the case down in Carolina where the wife had said to the cops, he's not armed, don't worry about it, and the guy had a gun. So it's extremely dangerous job, and you have to just take your own safety and do it the right way, Jay.
Yeah, and you mentioned the guy had some issues. Do we know anything more as far as background besides that? We know obviously living with his mother over there, but do we know any further background information?
No, they don't. They just have it labeled as that he was emotionally disturbed. I don't think he has any work history or anything like that. And unfortunately, there are so many people that are living in our society that need the help of a mental facility and just don't have it because the politicians have, you know, dried up the money and not spent it. I mean, this is why now mental health has become a police problem, and it should never be a police problem.
No question. And, of course, the dulcet tones of Bill de Blasio, once again, the mayor, stating the cop had a great attitude as he lay in the hospital bed and even made light of his situation. Pretty much the mayor stating that, listen, what could have been just another day, just another call, turned into something much worse. I thought those comments were a little out of line, but I'm not surprised, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised about anything that the mayor says. And it's just, it is what it is. I mean, there's now going to be a political battle for him, right, for coming up to secure his spot. And I think some of the candidates will capitalize on the fact that he has not been a real supporter of law enforcement.
Talking with Joe Jacklone, Mr. The Crime Report. Obviously, Joe, what happened at Sachem High School East yesterday, a tragedy beyond. Listen, I think back to the days of my kids at football practice and everything else. The investigation continues, and there are a lot of questions. Joe, if you're on the scene here, you will be certainly combing the area and everything else for some answers, especially from coaches, correct?
Well, yes, and actually interviewing the kids. I would be interviewing the kids first, and especially kids that have already graduated, because they won't be under any, threat, so to speak. Still going to school and then have to deal with these teachers and coaches. So I'd be looking at some of those kids to talk to, because I was a little surprised when I heard about it because, I mean, what are we training, Navy SEALs here?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's the first thought that hit my mind yesterday. And also, I'll tell you something else, Section 11, which really kind of sets the guidelines for athletics out here in Suffolk County. But you have to wonder if some of the practices, obviously, regular practices starting full, I believe, on Monday. But you have to wonder about some of the drills and everything else. Listen, tough to second-guess being armchair quarterback today. I was a little surprised, though.
Well, I was a lot surprised. I mean, I don't see, you know, jogging and all those, you know, running and push-ups and sit-ups and, you know, lifting weights in the weight room. I think that's all fine and good, but, you know, some of the, and hitting the, you know, the sleds and those kind of things. But, you know, carrying logs and all, you know, I don't know. Well, you know, they should, if they would have done that, why weren't they wearing helmets when they were doing it, you know?
Yeah.
It's, listen, there's going to be an investigation to see if there's any type of criminality or neglect or that they're negligent. I mean, that's something that's going to be looked at or has to be looked at.
But certainly a lot of questions as everything kind of continues there. We'll see what happens. I want to go to a report. You know, before I left the house this morning, I was startled by what's going on at Staten Island these days, Joe. I'm sure it's caught your eye regarding the amount, the number of overdoses. I believe 24 in the last 29 days. And, you know, we've talked about the drug problem and everything regarding Long Island. It's everywhere, obviously. Staten Island, those numbers are absolutely startling, though.
Yes. I mean, Staten Island has been suffering for a while about this. Suffolk County has been, you know, up there in the top for the counties for the state. But I think, unfortunately, Staten Island is going to challenge that now. And I don't know if you caught the president's talk in New Jersey about, you know, making the opioid crisis a national emergency now.
Yeah.
142 deaths a day in the country. And they said, every 3 weeks is another 9/11. So I guess they invoking the 9/11 aspect to really try to catch some people's attention, because for some people, if it doesn't affect them or their families, and they're not really worried or, you know, worried about it or too concerned. But you know what? This affects everybody, even if it hasn't personally affected you.
And it's good that the president came out with some stuff. Listen, I've always said it starts federally, and you have to shore up these borders. That is first and foremost. You have to stop this stuff from coming in.
Right, and actually it could be even as simple as some of the issues that, where we know that's coming in from China, some of this, it's, you know, the synthetic stuff.
Well, the fentanyl, yeah.
Yep, the fentanyl and all that other all the, those other types of drugs. And, you know, maybe we can help, you know, prevent, you know, some people from dying. I mean, listen, what we've seen with this opioid crisis is that it's not really, you know, you make all these arrests, you make these big busts, but unfortunately, it's still going to lead to death, because if you are that strung out on this stuff, you're going to go for it, and, you know, eventually people are going to overdose. It's unfortunate. No matter how much we take off the street, Jay, it just seems, I mean, like we just talked about these numbers, right? They're outrageous.
They really are. And for the first time, and I'm sure you've seen it, you now have PSAs on TV all regarding fentanyl. We never saw that before. We saw, obviously, the drug problem reaching out treatment centers, and now they are being specific as far as the synthetic stuff with fentanyl. Interesting there.
Well, you know,
well needed, too, by the way.
Sure, but, you know, it's also interesting, if you look back on our archives, Jay, with the crime report, I think you can find us, we were talking about this months and months ago.
Long time ago, yeah.
Before the news was even hitting this. I mean, how come we saw the trend and nobody else did? That's the big problem.
It is, and listen, a lot of people are talking elections and, you know, putting into play about this big problem here on Long Island, and there are some important seats in some important districts that have certainly been under fire regarding this big problem. We'll see what happens, and especially a very, very important race for district attorney out here.
Well, sure. I mean, that's going to be a big case in there, but, you know, I'm just going to go out on a limb there and say the new district attorney is going to be Tim Sweeney. You know, I could say that with quite confidence, but the issue that really comes down to is that our political leaders, you know, mainly Ballone and Mangano, have made, I don't think they've made much of any of the opioid crisis. I think they could have used it as a real way to make sure that people know that they're on top of these things. Just like the gang problem, we didn't really hear anything about them either, so it's a little mind-boggling. I mean, I'm not a politician, I never will be. But, you know, I think that these were opportunities for them to try to let people know that they actually care.
No, listen, they are the leaders, and you're right. They have been somewhat under the radar regarding two very important categories, no question about it. Joe, I want to get into earlier in the week, and there was a big scam. You know, we talk about scams all the time, As police here in Suffolk actually issued a warning regarding this telephone scam, which people are tricked into wiring money for what they think is a family member in trouble. One woman actually was sending $8,400 via Federal Express. And if it weren't for the intuitiveness of a cop, stopped Federal from going through the transmission. I think it was like a 15-minute window. I was able to get the woman's money back, but certainly a scenario. We talked about it all the time, these scams, especially with the IRS, in which they will never call. That is a fact. They will never call one demanding money. They'll send you letters and threatening letters and everything else, and then garnish wages if need be. But the point of the matter is, you know, these scams are like dominoes. It's one after the other, and it's all targeting, yes, senior citizens.
Yes, and there are even issues where they're threatening that somebody's been kidnapped now, too. I mean, they're actually up in the ante in a lot of these things. And you know what? That person says, you know what? They don't know what to do at that point. You know, and they always say, you know, don't call the cops and don't do this and don't do that. You know, the only suggestion I had that if you've ever been get one of these calls and says, you know, somebody's been kidnapped or whatever, I mean, every one of these kids has a cell phone now, whatever, reach out to them right away, you know, and see if you can get a hold of them. But, yeah, don't wire money to anybody, especially, like you said, the IRS or anybody else. You know, if you're a federal agency, you're not going to get money via Western Union or by a, you know, a cash debit card. If somebody's asking you to do that, it's more than likely a scam, and you should just
hang up the phone. That's all you got to do. Hang up the phone. You know, how many calls do we all get on our cell phones now? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yes, and if anybody says they're going to stop robocalling, they got my vote in November, Jay.
Yeah, no question about it. Talking with Joe Jacklin, of course, the Crime Report. Joe, I had on the new police chief of the town of Southampton earlier in the week, Stephen Skrinecki. Of course, he was the chief of the Nassau County Police Department for many a year, taking his expertise out into the East End. Interesting regarding this whole counterterrorism unit now added to its crime-fighting efforts this summer. So you'll have a lot of officers out there. If you see them at some of the Hampton events, the rifles and everything else. Of course, you got the Hampton Horse Show coming, which is the classic, which is a very well-attended event. And listen, it's the sign of the times, I would say, huh?
Yes, anywhere there's a large group of people come together, it's just a potential target. It doesn't matter if you're out in Southampton or in New York City or in Miami. It doesn't really matter if it's small town America or big town. Every police department has to be on top of this. I mean, even the town halls that we're seeing now, right, Jay? We got all the cops there now because of what happened with the
baseball practice down in Virginia, and you bring that up with Nassau now really kind of beefing it up at meetings of the Nassau County Legislature as well.
Well, I think that's a good move because, God forbid, if something happened, right? Everybody would be like, what were you guys thinking? You know, I mean, we just had an incident where it was a near massacre, and you didn't think of this as, you know, it's a soft target. You could try to do it as best as you can, but, you know, if you have an opportunity to be able to provide security or at least the presence of security, then that's what should happen.
No question. Joe, we had you on early in the week in a special segment, special edition of the Crime Report regarding officers, immigration officers, ICE officials arresting 32 men who are living on the island, sought for deportation. And again, that laundry list of serious sexual offenses. And I got to tell you, I mean, they were as hard to hear as anything regarding this stuff. Four-year-old, you know, we're talking a four-year-old child who was sexually abused. I mean, you know, you talk about immigration laws and certainly unaccompanied minor acts. And, you know, we have laws. You and I spoke. We have laws in place, but they are not cemented. And hopefully, you know, you look at during the week with Rob Astorino coming out, and rightfully so, you know, regarding safe havens and sanctuary cities and everything else, you know, no one wants to hear this stuff anymore.
No. Well, the issue that comes down to is that it's becoming a political football, of course, but It's also, I also refer to it as a political hand grenade, right? You know, because this administration is focusing on it, that doesn't mean the next administration will and might undo everything that this one did. And now if you are on the wrong end of that, that's the end of your political career. So once again, politics plays a role in this and voting and everything. So we have to do the right thing by the citizens. I mean, when you look at this, like you said, look at the crimes. When you have 4-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds being raped and sexually abused, right? I don't care who is responsible for them. They should be sought out and arrested and put in prison, period.
No question about it. And it's another issue as we get into election season and everything else, you know, regarding, and we hear the word sanctuary all the time here. Sanctuary this, sanctuary that. Tired of hearing it, Joe.
Well, yes, and how about the fact, Jay, too, like, how come we're not questioning the prosecutor's office about why these guys were allowed, you know, such short sentences for these heinous crimes, you know, and why, you know, what about the judges? What were they thinking when they sentenced these? I mean, how are you sexually abusing a 4-year-old and you are out of prison? I don't get it.
I don't get it either. And we had Assemblyman D. Murray on the other day. We talk about how Albany has dropped the ball repeatedly regarding sex offenders. I mean, even just extending the registry from 20 to 30 years so that these individuals do not fall off and get back into society. A lot of these guys live right near schools within a football field. You know, I mean, this is the type of stuff that drives you crazy. And maybe it'll open people's eyes when they get to the polls. You know, people who really just put everything on hold, wait for another legislative session to appear, and it's the same old stuff drummed up, but nothing ever gets firmly planted into law.
No, and it's unfortunate because the rate of victimization is increasing in a lot of these crimes. You know, I mean, we saw what happened in Brentwood and Central Islip. We had, you know, 17 murders and all these. I mean, these are the things that you have to start, you know, saying, when does the disease spread? It's going to spread, and we've mentioned that fact that many of the different towns that we know that have been affected by these gangs has increased. It's simple math.
Sure is. A couple of quick ones, Joe, before we let you go. In essence, this Lord Pardo, the factory worker, I guess whom a jury convicted of killing his girlfriend's 18-month-old son while babysitting, he'll be heading to prison 5 to 15 years, a lot of remorse here, but you remember this jury had acquitted Pardo, Joe, of murder and first-degree manslaughter charges. This was back, you know, I'm talking about in this kid's October 2015, I believe. That's the year of the death. That's when it occurred. But Pardo acquitted of some serious charges. Nonetheless, he gets convicted here.
Yes, and I think he got a very short sentence on that, too, because of it. I mean, here's, well, you know what? I mean,
they let him off light. You know he's not going to serve 15 here.
No. You know, he'll end up probably serving 7.5 or, you know, I think the way it works is that anything over 7 years, I think you have to serve 7 years. So if it's 15 years, you can't get out until about 7.5. I think that's the way it works, but you'd have to have a lawyer tell us for sure. But the issue that really comes down to is that when you look at the classification of this crime and the age of the victim, and then you say to yourself, how does this guy have a light sentence like that? Well, apparently the case wasn't as strong as they wanted it to be. I mean, this is, you know, that does happen from time to time. And, you know, the evidence might not have been overwhelming, or there might have been evidence that was omitted from court. So we don't know the full extent of that because we're not behind the scenes there. But, you know, it's kind of heart-wrenching when you see this, when you have anything against the young or the old, that you really have to step up your game.
No question about it. Interesting where a Nassau judge gave this former psychiatrist, Joe Marshall Hubsher, I guess, who he had raped a patient, did receive extra prison time for dining in disguise, trying to tamper with a jury that found him guilty of the sex crime, and left copies of a note about reasonable doubt. I mean, you know, you talk about the so-called chutzpah of Marshall Hubsher, and rightfully so, getting an extra 90 in the slammer.
Yes, and, you know, anytime you tamper with any type of witnesses or try to intimidate people, I mean, that's always an extra charge, and that's where that came from. You know, it's there's a lot of things going on around us that is quite concerning.
And, Joe, I'll leave it with this. You know, we hear about a lot of promotions being stalled and whatnot, but how about in the village of Hempstead, mm-hmm. where you had an African-American cop hoping for a sergeant's promotion and pretty much stating that, listen, I'm not going to get a fair shot, he said, at moving up because of his race. I mean, we hear this a lot. Joe, Hempstead has always been under the microscope here.
Yes, historically it has been. But the thing that that's going against this officer, though, is that the list that he was on was already extended an extra year. It should have already been expired. And I think that's what the town is going to focus on, in that fact, that it was expanding because there was a sergeant that died not in the line of duty.
Yeah.
And, to fill the spot. And, you know, is there a spot available? And if there was, why wasn't he promoted? I mean, that's going to be the question that it comes down to.
Well, especially when you have an exam that was given last year and the results came out just a few months ago. Top five officers on that list, Joe, white men. So certainly a lot of questions there.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just...
It's going to raise some concerns.
Well, I mean, they have to yeah. do this fair and equitable. I mean, if this officer should have been promoted, a long time ago, then he should be promoted, right? I don't care what race you are.
No question.
If you're number one and number two and that your list number comes up and, you get promoted. Simple.
Joe, we'll talk to you soon.